the Lord right now. The choir sounded good singing it. You might ought to say it to, I need you, Lord. Need you, Lord, right now. It's simple, isn't it? Come on, sing with me. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. Says, I lift my hands. Come on, lift those hands. I lift my, bow my knees and bow and worship at your throne. I need you, Lord.
I need you, Lord.
I need you, Lord. Say it again. I need you, Lord. I need you.
I need you, Lord.
I need you, Lord. Woo! I need you, Lord. Need you, Lord.
Need you, Lord.
Woo! Need you, Lord.
I need you, Lord.
I need you, Lord. Yes, I do.
Need you, Lord.
Need you, Lord.
Need you, Lord.
I need you, Lord. Right now. Amen. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Glory to the Lamb of God. Need the Lord.
Yes.
And I need him.
Right now.
Right now.
Yes, Lord.
Right now.
Help me. Help me.
Amen. Find us over there in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 4. It is the text that claims our attention this morning. I don't see it reflecting on our bulletin, but today is when we normally celebrate Usher's Day. Ushers did not desire to have formal celebration, but I want to take a pause to say we celebrate you. We're grateful for you. We need you. And we thank God for you. And so this is going to be your Ushers Day, sir. Amen. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. I want to get at verse number 1. Mm-hmm. What the Lord reads on this wise as we continue in our Christian consistency, always the same in our Christian living series. What the Lord reads on this wise. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Amen. You may be seated. That a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. For the time that is ours this morning, I want to share with us from the subject, the standard of evaluation. Standard of evaluation. I want to pull a subtopic on this one this morning. I want to talk about the ministers of hospitality. That's the title for our ushers. They are ministers of hospitality. Lest we get tripped up in here on the text that talks about ministers, and we all have our own ministry. The ministers of hospitality, they do stand at the door. Too many people think when you start talking about hospitality, they always think about what? The kitchen. Somebody that's working over in the culinary ministry. That's what they want to call it, culinary. ministry. But those at the door might be over there as well, but we want to talk to our ministers of hospitality. When I looked up synonym words for hospitality, words came up like welcome, friendliness, warmth, kindness, generosity, cordiality, and openness. And anybody, Sis Fagans, who knows anything about Ursarin, they need to embrace, embody all of those attributes that I just read to you. And so these ministers of hospitality here at the Chapman Grove Baptist Church, again, we say to you, thank you for your service. And so as I deal with this idea of standard of evaluation, an evaluation is the making of a judgment about the amount, the number, or value of something. It's an assessment. It's something that is done generally on an annually basis to determine how well or not you are doing at your post. Some people look forward to evaluations and others be worried sick waiting on the report. Am I gonna stay or do I have to go? And so it was on last week that we began talking about how God had prepared or set us up for promotion. But last week we were talking about what God has done. Today's sermon this morning, I need to talk to us about what it is that you need to do. Look at somebody, tell them it's all about you. It's all about you. It's all about you. Every now and then we want to put everything on God. Do nothing for ourselves. Today it's all about you, because you do know that there is a thing called demotion. It's called demotion. That's when you don't get the promotion. They take you down instead of raising you up. And that's the worst thing in the world. Ain't nobody here been demoted. But that's the worst thing in the world, is to receive a demotion. And so it is today. I wanted to talk to us about what it really is required of servants of God. And the answer to that, Dr. Williams, is two things: service and stewardship. If you get that in check, everything gonna be all right. For it is here that Paul has been discussing the contentious spirit that had motivated divisions down at the Corinthian church. And he was dealing with the divisiveness and how they were prejudiced and preferring one preacher over another preacher. Yeah. That now he's saying to them about some of their presumptions that they had no right really to judge Paul or Apollos or Cephas, because judgment is God's prerogative. And we'll get that at the judgment seat of Christ. He starts out showing what is required of God's servants. And the first thing I want to deal with is that of service. And he talks about his own service, because many people don't want to talk about themselves. They'll talk about everybody else, but they won't speak on their own situation, their own acts, their own service. And so he says here in verse number one, let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mystery of God. Ushers, you can say, let a man so account of us as the ministers of hospitality of Christ. Yeah, there it is. He says to us that's how, if you want to look at me like this. And the first part of that, he says that you need to look at my attitude. Some people get advanced just because of their attitude. That some people are blessed simply because of their attitude. Here the text calls a minister. That word minister is huperetes. It literally means an under rower. I might have shared that definition before. It's an under rower in a boat, and it symbolizes someone in a subordinate capacity, somebody that's low. And so Paul, the greatest of all apostles, the greatest of all teachers, the greatest of all missionaries, and the greatest of all pastors, describes himself as an under rower. He said, I'm a man under authority. And so the Corinthians let all of them boast about their favorite preachers. He wanted no part of that. He, like others, was just one of those who belonged to Christ. That's all he is. You know, doubtless he begins to, he can remember and recall seeing the boats out in the water there over in Rome, where there was just some great things that were going on in Rome. And he had seen the galley slaves in their long lines chained to their seats, holding on to their oars. And he had seen the overseers with their whips ready to enforce discipline and keep the rowers up to the mark. He had seen the slave master who gave the orders which called for a faster pace or for one side to hold the water while the other pulled, enabling the great ship to turn like a door on a hinge. He had heard the steady, endless beat of the drum, which governed the number of strokes per minute and which guaranteed that all rowers and all oars would be pulled together in perfect harmony and time. That was how he saw that, saw things. That's how he saw his service. He was not the slave driver, you know, the one that's walking with swagger up and down the tiers and the aisles, whip in hand, driving the galley slaves to their ceaseless work. He was not the slave master, sitting at ease giving orders. He was not the man who beat the drum. He was just an under rower. And many of us really just need to embrace who we are. Too many of us are trying to be somebody else, something else, but we need to be just who we are. And so that was his attitude, my brothers and sisters. I'm not here to be grand or to be great. I'm here to do my part along with everybody else. And ushers, please know and understand, your part brings harmony to what goes on up here in the pulpit. Because if you can't keep peace out there, you can't get the peace of God in here. Thank you for taking your part and doing your part. There has to be an attitude. You got to come to your post with an attitude of joy and celebration and excitement. The stuff that you brought in, you have to put it back out in order for you to be able to make sure everybody else can be of one accord. And so there's an attitude adjustment that sometimes people need. When you get the call from the president Air 9 again, and he say, look here, I need you to usher because so-and-so not going to be able to make it. You don't know why they don't need, you don't need to find out why they can't make it. They're not coming. But you need to be at a place where you're ready to step in. That's my attitude. My attitude is I'm ready to do what needs to be done whenever it needs to be done. I wore the wrong color this morning. I'm sorry. That's all it is. Next week, you know that we in fuchsia and not white. It's an attitude. It's an attitude. We've got to have an attitude adjustment. And I believe Paul is saying to us, that these are the kinds of attitudes that you need to have, those of humility, those of low estate. And if you want to get that promotion that we talked about last week, that's already yours. But if you want a promotion down here, then you need to have an attitude, one that will cause you to be able to be raised up in God. But he not only talks about attitude here, in that same verse 1, he says that as y'all look at us as of the ministers of Christ. Now, I want to say not do you need to have the right attitude, you need to have the right affection. He says that I'm a minister of Christ. If I'm a minister of Christ, I've already signed on to a life of slavery. I am committing myself as a bond servant to Jesus, who is the Christ. That means if I voluntarily putting myself in position of slavery to someone, I sure enough better love. I sure enough got to have their best interests at heart. I'm going to be one that is giving myself over to somebody, not because they've beaten me, not because they chained me, but because I love them. There's got to be some affection there. Paul, he endeavored to pull his oar to the master's command in harmony and cooperation and fellowship with all those who served. He was excited to do his part. When he says, if there's any judging to be done, y'all judge me on that. But he says, not only on my attitude and my affection, but judge me on my actions. Here now he goes from service to stewardship. Look at that, verse number 2. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. that word for steward is oikonomosos. Someone who managed the affairs of his master's household. The primary responsibility of a steward is to be faithful. I'm looking at the ushers on the door, and there is a need for you to be faithful. Yeah, but not just the ushers today. We all have been entrusted with something by the Lord. Mm-hmm. And we shall be accountable at the judgment seat of Christ for what we've done with it. Yeah, you've got to be responsible for the position that you hold. Yeah, we've got to be at a place where we do what we know to do when it's time to do it. Help us, Jesus. We've got to be responsible. And Paul, he had a high sense of accountability. He was himself a steward of the mysteries of God. God had already shared some stuff with him. There are things that he knew about God and the kingdom, and these had been entrusted to him. There were so many of the secrets that he has, which had been revealed to him, and he is now responsible. So Paul invites the Corinthian church to evaluate him. If they gotta evaluate him along the lines of his service and his stewardship. Now, I'm not here to call out anybody's service or stewardship this morning, but it would be something on you to do self-evaluation of your service. Watch this, as a member of the Chapman Grove Baptist Church. Your stewardship of the Chapman Grove Baptist Church. We do self-evaluation so that you don't think I'm just here to talk to ushers or talk to preachers, but I'm here to talk to all of us for the ministry that God has placed on us. How is our service? Because some people do good service every now and then. But your stewardship speaks even greater to your service, because it speaks to the level of commitment that you offer to the one who has placed you in position. And because God has called us all, Jesus has saved us all by his own blood, We are responsible to him. And when I do my service, whatever it is, my service is unto God. When I do my service, whatever it is, my responsibility, my stewardship, he said, let me mess up and get off and make somebody mad. When I give, I don't want to say offering because offering is something different. When I give my money to the church, my responsibility for my stewardship is not what I think I should give. I don't do this but maybe once a year, and this ain't that time, so y'all just received it. It's that when I give my tithe and my offering, it should be done with gladness, with excitement, because this is what I can offer unto God. That's my reasonable service. As I'm able to, that shows how much of a steward I am to the service that I provide. Look at him. He says that you need to know that your primary function is faithfulness. If I'm faithful, that means I can be counted upon. If I'm faithful, you can sure enough depend on me. If you're faithful, there are people that I know going to be here, hell or high water.
Right.
Faithful. They're not faithful to me. They're faithful to Christ and faithful to the service that they render to this place called Chapman Grove. There is responsibility that belongs to us, and I need us to embrace it with the right attitude. Embrace it with the right affection and embrace it with the right actions. Because if your attitude is right, your affection will fall straight in line, and it will cause you to move in actions only that are pleasing and acceptable unto God. And so our ministers of hospitality, thank you for your attitude, your affection, and your actions. I'm thanking you in advance for any of those that have not been in check, that will be in check on next Sunday. We bless God for you and what you do to help make us comfortable, to help make us feel welcome. When the visitor stood and began to share, it sounded like she was comfortable to be able to share amongst you. That just didn't happen because it happens everywhere. It happened because the spirit of comfort and welcome rests right here. Amen. So it is. Paul says to us, you want to judge me? Judge me on my service and judge me on my stewardship. This could have been for any leader of the church today. How is your service and how is your stewardship? I want y'all to go away from this place pondering those two things, keeping in mind your attitude, your affection, and your actions. Because it was Jesus that came to serve, and a servant he was. He was faithful in his responsibility to his Father for his people. And he served until he died. Now that's a song that we sang sometime. We're going to say, I'm going to serve until I die. It's not just a song. Jesus served until he died. And even in his dying, his attitude was in check. He went knowing that he had to go. His affection was in the right place. He loved the Father and he loved the Father's people. Matter of fact, he loved you and you weren't even here yet. And he already knew that I gotta die for you because you can't make it without me. His affections were in place. And if his affections weren't in place, if his attitude wasn't in check, he would not have died. got before in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he said, Father, let this cup pass. That's what he wanted to do. But he said, let me back up. If not my will, but thy will be done. And hearing nothing from him, he died for the sins of the entire world. And when he died, he stayed dead. But it was as he had told them, as he had already prophesied about himself. The third day morning, the Father raised him up. And look at it. He gets up with still great attitude, with great affection and great action, because he says, I got all power in heaven and earth in my hand. But he doesn't want to hold on to it by himself. He wants to give it to everyone who would believe. As you believe, he gives you service moves and responsibilities of stewardship. Some of us are stewards over a little more. And again, I've seen people be steward over a whole lot and get taken down. But you don't have to be taken down if you're a good steward over what God has placed you over. Your service to God is the very essence of your faithfulness to the kingdom. Will you be faithful? Will you serve with a sense of great attitude and affection, admiration for the God who has brought you thus far? Would you move in action to do things that are pleasing and acceptable unto God? Amen. As we stand all over the building, the doors of the church are open. Last Sunday, the young people wore me out up here. As I tried to help them understand that they had already been prepared by God to do great things. They had already been set up by God for God to use them in excellent ways. Today, you are in position, the place of ordination, if you will. But are you offering proper service and stewardship for what has been entrusted to you? I thank God for what he's giving us, but he really wants to give us more. Are you ready to receive all that God has for you? As we stand in the doors open to the church, we want to invite somebody that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ in their personal Savior. Glory to God.